1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. This morning I want to preach on this title, and the title is taken right from verse number 7. Verse number 7, it says, "The end of all things is at hand." The end of all things is at hand. In the year 2010, we're looking ahead into the future here a little bit. We are set, if the Lord tarries, to have the Winter Olympics here in Vancouver and in Whistler. And I think you probably are aware that Olympics was awarded to our city, there has been hours already of preparing that have taken place for something that is still 5 years, 5.5 years out there. There's been a lot of planning. There's been, if you drive to Whistler, you can see planning that's already been made because they're working on the road. How many of you have ever driven from Vancouver to Whistler before they started to work on the roads? Yeah, and you remember how that was, right? And it still is somewhat, but now it's certain spots. I drove up there for the couples retreat a few months ago, and already, even 2 months ago, there's certain areas now where you can see where they've used dynamite and these big boulders are just gone from where, and they've got new paved roads and they're wider already. And so much work, much money, much effort, and much preparation are being made. And just even for the opening ceremony for the Olympics, I mean, can you imagine the amount of hours and money and preparation and practicing is going to go into just the opening ceremony? Thousands of hours and millions of dollars would be invested in this great international sporting event. However, if the Lord tarries, it will only last a few short days. And it'll be over. And the end of all things will be at hand. There'll be some stadiums maybe that will be built. There'll be some roads that have been widened, and we can remember when it happened. But other than that, we may watch our favorite Canadian athlete get a gold medal or a silver medal or a bronze medal, and we may remember that. But just in a few short days, all the planning, all the money, all the effort, all the work, just a few short days, it'll be over. It'll be a memory. We'll have T-shirts that say 2010 Winter Olympics in our dressers at home, in our chest of drawers at home, you know. And we'll have that, or we'll have maybe a flag in our home where it said that, or something to remember it by. But the event will be over, and it'll be a distant memory. You know, sometimes life is the very same way. We do a lot in our life. If we live 70, 80 years, even if we don't, it still doesn't matter how long we live. We still do a lot. If we're a young person, there's a lot to life. Going to school, getting ready in the morning. With a baby in the house, there's a lot to do in the morning. We're finding that out again after 5 years of vacation. And there's a lot of preparations and a lot of effort. When you have children and you're rearing them and you're training them, there's a lot that goes into that. When it comes to life, we get so busy in life many times that we forget, and by the way, there's a method here to the message, and please, I'm not trying to speak on, you know, it's all over, so let's just, you know, cry and whine and, you know, and be pouty today. But I want you to use your mind a little bit today and realize that we get so busy that we forget that at any moment, that can be the end. You know, we get so, and right now, we're really bad about it. Christmas season. You know? Hey, I'm forgiving. I'm not definitely for the overkill here. You know? It's become about presents and it's become about that, and Jesus is on the back shelf. You know? So don't get me wrong, I'm for Christmas. I love Christmas. I love snow. I love all that, you know, the snowman and all that. You know, I'm not the Grinch. But I'll tell you, I think we ought to make sure Jesus is in the rightful place in our homes when it comes to Christmas time. But it is a very busy time, regardless of the fact. The world is very busy. We are very busy. You go over here to Walmart. You go over to mall. You go over to the mall. You go over to Zellers. You go wherever. And more, especially on Saturdays and unfortunately on Sundays, you'll be able to drive down here at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now on Sunday, Walmart's parking lot is almost going to be packed, at least the first section of it. Why? Because we're so busy that Christmas is coming. And you know, what's the last thing on your mind at Christmas? The end. But you're going to wrap those gifts. You're going to put them in a box. You're going to put a pretty bow. Got it. On top of the box. You're going to put a name tag on there. To Isaac. from Reuben. See, your brother's nice. He buys you Christmas gifts. He's a good brother. And I got to stick up for these younger brothers, you know, and sisters. And the gift's there. And you know what, though? On December 26th, the end is at hand. All that's left maybe is a little bit of eggnog in the fridge and some leftovers from the turkey or the ham, and maybe there's still some wrapping paper on the floor, or maybe there's an open box laying there, but the end is at hand. And now we wait 360 some odd days for the next Christmas to come around. The end of all things is at hand. I was watching something this weekend, and a commercial came on. I don't usually watch commercials, but this one caught my attention because I knew what was happening because I talked to my sister about it. There was a store in the U.S. on, you know, the day after Thanksgiving was Friday for those folks in the South, and they go wild on that day shopping. It's the biggest shopping day of the year down there. And this year, my sister called me, and she told me on the night before, on Thanksgiving evening, that you could go onto the website of Target and punch in your home telephone number. Did you see that commercial? Punch in your home telephone number, and they will give you a wake-up call on the day after Thanksgiving so you get up early enough to go to the store and get their specials. I mean, goodness gracious, wake-up calls from department stores now. What are we coming to? Full swing. Children are born, and then before you know it, children are out of the home. Children are married. Children are having children. Now you're a grandma this morning, or you're a grandpa this morning. And so it seems like time goes so fast when the little one comes home a few days ago in our house, and it'll be just like I remember bringing home my 8-year-old son 8 years ago. But the end, for Caleb, the end is at hand. No more diapers. Amen. Praise the Lord. The end is at hand, and that's one of those end at hands that you're looking forward to if you're a parent. The end of the diapers. Amen. Parents with diaper-age children. Amen. Thank you. The end is at hand. We're just beginning, but I know the end is at hand again with this one. But, you know, we talk about that, and there's no reason we can't have a little bit of humor in church, but you know, you think about it. You'll wish we could go back after all the children are gone. I know now because I talked to my parents, and they're empty. Caleb, right here. And now they have an empty home. And they say, boy, it's so quiet. It used to be that they would say, shh, you're too loud. Now it's, wow, it's too quiet. Because the end is at hand for their child rearing, because the children are gone. I want us to consider the words of the Apostle Peter this morning that he gave us as he wrote them, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he said, the end of all things is at hand. What does this mean, the end of all things is at hand? I've tried to talk to you a little bit about it, but I want to give you four things by way of an outline this morning that if you have a pen, I would encourage you to write them down. If you don't take notes, you don't have to, but maybe think about them in your mind and try to remember them mentally. Because I want us to think today. I know it's Sunday morning, but we can still think. But number one, when it comes to this phrase, the end of all things is at hand. Number one, the end of our life is at hand. The end of your life. The end of my life is at hand. I said it earlier. Do you realize, and I'm not trying to scare anybody today at all, but do we realize that we could die at any moment? Have you thought about it? You know, you might be 35 years old today. That's how old Dominic Mobilia was too. An Italian soccer player, great health, great condition, but he's no longer with us. Because at any moment, we could go. And the end of all things is now at hand. Everything that we've done on this earth would be over. We can't go back and say, well, let me change something, God, send me back. No, it's over then. Our life can go at any moment. We realize and praise God that Jesus could return today. Amen? Amen. Boy, I tell you, if you don't say amen in church for that, you got problems. I want Jesus to come back. I'm ready. Hey, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world definitely anymore. Boy, if you feel comfortable here in this world, let's see, make sure you're saved. Because I don't feel comfortable about anything in this, that this world has to offer, let me tell you. And as a believer, we look forward to our home. This is just a passing through. In other words, it's just like when you're going from, like our brother here, from Kelowna to Vancouver. They have a mountain pass, right? And you pass through and you pray that you pass through safely because it gets treacherous up there in the winter. That's what this world is for us. We're just a passing through. It gets a little slippery sometimes, gets a little treacherous sometimes. But God is there and He's able and He's guiding us because we're wanting to get to the promised land. We're wanting to get to glory. At any moment, Jesus could return. At any moment, we could be in heaven. Do we realize this morning how short and unpredictable life is? Proverbs 27:1 says this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." There was in the last few months, there was a professional baseball player, 41 years old. His name was Ken Caminiti. He was a very muscular baseball player. Now, he had some problems in narcotics, and he did things he shouldn't do to his body, and at 41 years old, he dropped over a heart attack and died. Gone. This is someone probably at one time in his life, and maybe even the day he died, was a millionaire. So does it matter how much money you have? No, death can come knocking to anybody's door today, regardless of how much money we have, and regardless of how popular we are, and regardless of how much fame we have, and regardless of if we're the pastor, a member, a secretary, a Sunday school teacher, a bus driver, it need not matter. We don't control that. One month ago when I went down to pick up Brother Spencer at Seattle Airport, I stopped off at a good friend of mine in Marysville, Washington. Some of you ladies have been there for their ladies' conference. And Pastor Campbell was here last week for our revival meeting. And I went to see him, and he wasn't in. So I was talking to the assistant pastor, Brother Hoxie, who was also here with him on Thursday night. And I got to talking just how's things going, and things going great. And they have a Christian school down there, and some of the kids were getting lunch ready, and so I got to talking to them, and I called the pastor on his phone while I was there and talking to him, and he said, "Boy, we've had a difficult week." And I said, "What happened?" He said, "You know Brother Mike?" And I said, "I sure do." Brother Mike was in his mid-50s, and I'd gone to pastor school. Some of you know I usually go to pastor school in March, and I travel with their church a lot, and I roomed with him in a hotel room, and he was one of their school teachers, and he said, Brother Mike died this week. In his 50s. Head usher at the church. Getting ready for school one morning at home. Sitting on the edge of the bed. They found him laying back on the bed just like this. He'd had a heart attack. He's gone. Just like that. You know, that morning he was probably thinking about whatever he was going to teach that day in history or science. This man was a very compassionate man for souls. This man was a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. They had over 200 and some people at his funeral. But he's gone. He's in heaven. That's why today we thank God for heaven. Amen? That's why today we thank God for glory. Because regardless of what happens to us here, we're going to a better place. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. We hold to that this morning. But life is so fleeting and life is so quick that we have no control of it. This statement I read and wrote it down. Many times Christians, we live as if we are going to stay here forever. You know what I mean? We have so many things. And we think we're going to live here forever, but we're not going to live here forever. We're going to heaven someday. Many people live as if they're going to stay here forever. And be here forever. This statement, if we knew tomorrow, November 29th, was to be our last day, what would we do differently? What would we change? This is just, I want you to think this morning. Would you walk closer to God in the next 24 hours than you ever had before? I would say we would. Would we witness, if we had a lost loved one, would we get on the phone and would we grab that phone and call them and say, "I know I'm going to heaven tomorrow, but I got to tell you one more time, the gospel. Will you listen? You'd do it if you knew tomorrow was your last day. So would I." Would you sit down and write one more letter to your lost family member and put a gospel tract in it and postmark it and stamp it and stick it in the mail? Would you place God at the top of your priority list where He belongs anyway? Parents, I'm saying today that we as parents, God is to be at our priority list. It's not our children. The husbands, your wife is not the top thing in your life. It's got to be God. But if you have God where He's to be, then your wife needs to be where she needs to be, and then your children need to be where they need to be. What would we do? Would we get rid of a secret sin that only God knows about and we know about if we knew tomorrow was our last day? I think we probably would. Would we get our life right with God? Would we teach our children from the Bible for 24 hours and say, "Look, children, I may not have been doing this the best I can, but I know I got a word of knowledge, you know, and I'm not going to be here. Tomorrow's it. So let's sit down around the table and let's read the Word of God for a while." That's what we do. Would we stop living for the material world and live for the kingdom of God? You see, those are all what ifs, and we can't answer those. We say yes and everything to those, but you know, the truth is, we don't know if tomorrow's our last day or not. But the Bible says, the Lord comes as a thief in the night. He may come back tomorrow. You may be called to glory tomorrow. Life is so quickly changing. One week, my wife's pregnant, and the next week, within a week, here we go, we got a baby. That's pretty fast. Life changed dramatically for our household in one week for the good. Amen? Life. But you know, on the other end, it can change so quickly. No matter what age you are, the knee can start to go out on you. The hip can start to go out on you. The elbow can start to hurt. The hand can start to hurt. The back can start to hurt. The thumb can start to hurt. It's not from playing too many video games either. Okay, he's a tailor, so you know, from sewing. You know, all those things can begin to happen. The end is at hand. But many times we don't even think about that. So number one, the end of life is at hand. Number two, the end of this world is at hand. I've touched on it already. This world is not forever. The end is at hand. You know, I love to do on a clear day in Vancouver. Very few of those happen these days, but I love to see the beautiful mountains. I love to see, after all the rain, you can see some white on top of those mountains. And then it makes all those rainy days feel like a distant memory, when you can wake up and just walk out of your house and see this beautiful skyline that God just took with a paintbrush and put up there. It's beautiful. Even the downtown core, even if you see the buildings and the ones, they kind of, you know, the up and down and tall ones and shorter ones, and they got the round one there that has the revolving restaurant on it, and just the mountains behind it, and Lionsgate Bridge, and so beautiful. One day, it'll all be gone. It'll be a distant memory. The end of all things are at hand. One day, our career on this, as we look at it, whatever your career is right now, will end. Your job will end. One day, our possessions will be burned up, gone. The home we live in right now, one day, will not be there anymore. One day, your family will move on and have their own family. One day, your money will belong to someone else. Isn't that amazing? You say, you own the home. Okay, think about this. I agree. We own the home. You have paper that proves it. But was there ever anybody in there before you? Now, if you built your home, okay, you're the first person. But I guarantee you, you probably won't be the last unless Jesus comes back. So yes, you own it, but somebody else might live in it someday beside you. That's always, when I was a kid, I used to always think about, I don't know why I thought about that, but that's one of the strangest things I thought of as a kid. You know, somebody else lived here before I did, you know? And somebody else is going to live here after me. So it's our home, but only for a short period of time. Someday our cars will be, and you may say that's today, someday our cars will be of no use to us. They won't work anymore. The engine will blow. They'll be gone. I mean, even the most beautiful car that you've ever had, maybe it's when you were growing up, maybe it got in a wreck because of the way you were driving it. It's no longer available. The end of all things is at hand. Nothing lasts on this world forever. Nothing. 2 Peter chapter 3, listen to this verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for, verse 12, 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of the God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, that great day is coming. Wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. I look forward to that day. Why live like this world, and why live for this world, when someday we will no longer be in this world? You know what I mean? Hey, I believe we all ought to work hard. I hope that you're the hardest working person wherever it is God has you employed or used to be. You're retired now. You've worked hard, and praise God for it. But look, you are. God gives you a job so we can have food, clothing, and shelter. Maybe put some money away and save it away for when we retire so we have money to live off of, to be a blessing to others, to be a blessing to the Lord's work. But look, none of us this morning needs to have a goal of living like the world for sure, but living for the world, because the world's going to be gone. We're not going to be here. Someday somebody else is going to be working where you work or doing your job, and you're going to be in heaven. Where are you laying up treasure today? The world, the end of the world is at hand. I had this written down before I knew that our friends would be here from Kelowna, but I thought about the people in Kelowna last year. I'm not being negative toward them because I don't know who they were, but they had beautiful homes. And the fire came in. And those homes were gone. Just like that. Gone. And I remember watching on the news that there'd be a home here, and then there'd be two burnt down, and then there'd be another home here. How can you explain that? Unbelievable. Those homes are gone, though. You know, if those people lived, and again, I can't talk about them. I don't know who they are, but I know they were devastated. But if that's all they lived for was that home, then boy, I bet they were really depressed when that happened. I would be too. I would be sad because that's my home. That's my, bring me some pictures in there from my wedding or everything like that. But I'm not living. You know, all those wonderful pictures and things that we saved for all these years, you realize we're not going to take them with us. We treasure, hey, we have them in our home too. You have them in your home. Nothing wrong with that. But you realize someday they're just going to get passed down to somebody, and eventually that passing down is going to stop because we're all going to be in heaven. Somebody else is going to be pillaging through our homes and wondering, looking at our wonderful wedding pictures or looking at all of our baby pictures, you know. They'll get the joy of looking at them, I guess. But someday the end of all things is at hand. And look, I just want you to think, Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Are you laying up treasure in heaven? Why? Because the world, this world, is coming to an end. Number three, quickly. The end of opportunity is at hand. The end of opportunity. Number one, the end of the world is at hand. Number one, the end of our life is at hand. It can come at any moment. Number three, the end of opportunity is at hand. This morning, I don't know each and every one of you intimately, but I know this, that there may be somebody in here today that is not sure about heaven. Your opportunity someday will end to be saved. It will end. Because number one, the end of life is at hand. If you die without Jesus Christ, the Bible says your soul will go eternally to a place called hell. The opportunity will be over. You have opportunities today. You have an opportunity if you're not saved. The Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Man believeth with the heart. Are you sure you're on your way to heaven today? If you doubt that and you're not sure that if you died you'd go to heaven, Jesus is the only way. Don't base it on religion. Don't base it on my mom. Don't base it on your mom or your mom. Don't base it on my mom either. And don't base it on your dad. Don't base it on the Baptist church. Don't base it on Pastor Turner. And I'll tell you this morning, some people have sat in churches their whole life and have heard the Bible plan, the gospel, and yet they still are not saved. It doesn't just, you don't get it by osmosis. It doesn't just come up through the seat of the chair and all of a sudden you get saved. Whoa, I got saved because I sat in that chair. No, it's got to be your decision. Yesterday we were out doing some door knocking. We knocked, the first door we knocked on yesterday, Brother Tillman was able to talk to a gentleman, I'd say probably in about his 30s. Came out, shut the door behind him, and it was great. I mean, it was just like, wow, this guy, there's something here. And just right on down through, had his Bible out there, opened up his New Testament, opened up and said, do you understand this? Yes. Went through and explained it. Next thing, do you understand this? Yes. Do you understand? I mean, just kept on going for about 15 minutes. Do you understand? Yes. And would you like to be saved? Yes. Never been in church. Never. But now, he's on his way to heaven. Why? Because he took advantage of the opportunity. Would you expect somebody on Saturday morning? Well, you expect another group of people to come on Saturday morning. We won't talk about them. But somebody to knock on your door and talk to you about Jesus and heaven. I mean, that's probably the last thing that gentleman expected when he got up that morning. But praise God, the opportunity came. He got saved. Someday the opportunity is going to end to be saved. I hope you take advantage of the opportunities God has given you. Once we are in heaven, the door of opportunity to serve the Lord will be closed. You realize that? If you go to heaven tomorrow, your opportunity to serve God is over. You can't serve God anymore. There will be no more soul winning in heaven. Don't need to. There will be no helping the poor and needy in heaven. Because everyone's going to be all right there. There will be no giving to missions in heaven. You have an opportunity to give to missions now through the Anchor Baptist Church and support these missionaries that are going out. We'd like to take on the Redlands. We'd like to help the Bellevos next fall when they start their church. I know everybody, we have tight budgets and everything, but when you go to heaven, you have no more opportunity to give. It's done. There's no more opportunity to teach a Sunday school class. Well, right now, we need to start two more Sunday school classes in the morning. Number one, we need to bring the class from the evening, ages 7 to 12, that needs to come down to the morning. And number two, we need to split the nursery. Right now, we have birth to 3 in there. We need to have a Sunday school for ages 2 and 3. We need that. We need to pray about that. Number one, we need teachers. Number two, we need rooms. So we're kind of in a pickle. All right? Deal with it, by the way. But pray about that. Why? Because there's an opportunity. We have an opportunity to train some young people. We have an opportunity to influence even the toddlers back there that don't know yet all everything, but they're in church and boy, all of a sudden you'll hear your toddler at home humming, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Where'd you get that from? Church. Amen? Boy, what great joy than to hear your little child hum a song that he learned at church or she learned at church. And then for the older and teenagers and so forth. And we need all these. There's opportunities. We need you to pray that these opportunities with buildings and a room and teachers. Hey, I've talked to a gentleman, we can even use the bus for Sunday school. We need to. Have you ever thought about that? I've been to churches where they use the bus for Sunday school. It can be done. We can heat that bus. We can use that space. Hey, God has given us so many great things, and I'm not going to say, well, we don't have room in the building, so forget it. No, we'll find a way. God will open up a door. Hey, there's a bus right there that'll hold 15 people. There's a Sunday school class. Opportunities, though. No more opportunities when we're gone to serve in the church, teach a Sunday school, drive the bus, use your talents for the Lord, bring a visitor, visit the sick in the hospital. We'll not have an opportunity when we're gone to honor our grandparents anymore. That's why I believe we've got to honor our grandparents. We ought to. The opportunity. Opportunity. Peter said in verse number 7, the end of how many things? He said the end of all things is at hand. The end of life is at hand. The end of the world. The end of opportunity. I went to Bible college in the States at Howells Anderson College. When I was there as a freshman, or I believe I was a sophomore, there was a gentleman that was a marriage student. His name was Scott Luckinbill. He was planning to go to Russia as a missionary. And he always rode his bike to work from his house. And he was there studying, and he had a wife, and he had children. He was an off-campus student, and I was just, I think, a freshman or sophomore, I can't remember. One day on his way to work, he was hit by a car. and the end of his life, an opportunity. It's over. Bible college student wanting to go to Russia and be a missionary. You see, death can come to anybody. But thank God that Brother Scott, as I know him, witnessed to folks before he got to Russia and was an example before he got to Russia. You know, sometimes we have the attitude that when I get older, I'll serve God, or when I get more Bible knowledge, then I can serve God. No, you have an opportunity to serve God right now. You don't have to wait. I don't care if you're 7, 8, 9, 10, or 70, 80, or 90. You can serve God right now. Don't wait. The end, why? Because the end of opportunities will be at hand. We must make the most of our opportunities. One day, the opportunity to receive Jesus will be over. Lastly, number four, the end of sin and death is at hand. Oh, hallelujah. The end of sin and death are at hand. Oh, I look forward to that day. I tell you, this world that we live in drives me crazy sometimes. Hey, I'm a sinner too, by the way. I'm not going to judge others, but I'll tell you this. I look at what's happening in this world. Whew. Jesus must be just about ready to, you know, okay, get that trumpet, get the air, you know, dust off the trumpet there and get her tuned up, because we're about ready to toot that thing and I'm headed down there. He's got to be close, you know. But oh, the opportunity, the end of sin and death is at hand. No sin in heaven. Amen. No pain in heaven. Amen. No creaky knees in heaven. No disease. No temptation in heaven. There's no flesh in heaven. No blaspheming. No swearing. Somebody was working on my sewer this week. That was one of our wonderful things that I said, well, if everything will happen in 7 days and then it's over for a couple of years, that's fine. I can get it all over in 7 days. Good. New baby, sewer plug up. That's, you know, typical week, right? Unbelievable. The guy's working on it, you know, and he's trying to get that snake down in there and do that, and he said something he should have. Before I could even say anything, he apologized. And he said, I'm sorry, I saw the bus out front. I shouldn't be talking like that. I said, you're forgiven. Won't have to listen to any more language like that in heaven. Won't be there. There'll be no stealing, no murder, no immorality. No greed, no war, no violence, no hatred, no overdoses, no drunkenness, no mortgage, amen. Yeah, the homes are already paid for there. No hospitals, no doctors. I like doctors, trust me. Very important to me the last couple of days. I like doctors, but we won't need them there. Amen. No cemeteries, amen. That's one thing I don't like doing, is going to the cemetery and conducting service, but we won't have to do that anymore. The end of death and sin is at hand. That's why we as believers this morning have something so great and mighty to look forward to. We don't have to this morning, even when we have a difficult week, we don't have to be downhearted. Are we downhearted? No. Jesus has come and troubles will go. Are we downhearted? Why? Because the end of sin and the end of death is at hand. No more cemeteries. No more cancer clinics. No more drugs. No more crime. No, don't need any police. I like policemen, but we don't need any there. No more death. We can surely expect suffering, heartache, pain, temptations, and death in this world. But heaven has none of the like. Would you please turn to Revelation 21 as we close today, and I want you to read in your heart with me this passage of Scripture that will be a blessing to you. By the way, heaven is only going to be for those that have trusted Jesus Christ. You know, I talk to people sometime and they say, well, everybody's going to heaven. Well, if I read the Bible right, everybody's not going to heaven. I don't like to say that, but that's the truth. And I have to say the truth, that everybody's not going there. Because the Bible says the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the whoremongers and sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. So we know some people are going to go there. And I don't want anybody to go to hell. Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This morning, if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, this verse in Revelation 21 right now does not apply to you. I'm not trying to be rude to you, but that's the truth. But if you get saved, then you've got the benefits of heaven. Amen? Benefits come along. Let's read it together. You read along in your heart, and I'll read aloud. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were what? Passed away. See? The end of all things is at hand. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. Now, hold on to your seats, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up. Look at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Have you shed a tear this week? I'd say probably every one of us has over something. If you haven't, you know, we'll get to that verse in a minute. If you haven't, you know, it's good to cry. We cry for many reasons. We cry for joy. I cried for joy this week. And forgive me for talking about that, but it's kind of one of those main things in your life, you know. And you know how I've preached my whole life here for this church. It's all about life. And some of my life comes out, and I hopefully that's okay. But I cried for joy on Sunday morning at the delivery of that little girl. Cried for joy that God gave us a beautiful little baby, healthy. And even if she hadn't have been, I still would have cried for joy. Then we cry for frustration sometimes. You know, Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, I'm going down to bring some laundry up for my wife. You know, because I'm trying to help out. It's what Dad's supposed to do. And I see water on the floor of the basement. And I cried for frustration. And I added to that puddle. And then we cry sometimes for disappointment. And we cry because we have pain. Not physical, but spiritual. And I cry sometimes for my mom as she is burdened for my brother, who, by the way, is doing much better. Praise God. He's going back to church now. His life is changing. And I praise God for that. And if you've prayed for him, I thank you for it. But we cry. But in heaven, no more tears. Whew. I look forward to that day. Look what else it says. Revelation 21, verse 4. There shall be no more death. We've had some people, lovely people, die from our church. In heaven, there'll be no death, no funerals to go to. No flowers to send in memory of anybody because there's no death there. Praise God. The end of death is at hand. Look at verse, that next one. Neither sorrow nor crying. And then he just basically wraps it all up. You know, this is what you call the cherry on top of the sundae. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are what? Passed away. The end of all things is at hand. The former things are passed away. I hope this morning that you'll think about this. Life. Opportunity. What are you living for? Choices. Be thankful that the end of death and sin is at hand. But what can you do more today to take advantage of the opportunities God has given you? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you today and we know that you love us. You sent your Son to die for us. Lord, sometimes we get caught up and we don't realize that we only have so much time to live for you, to get saved, to rear our children, Lord, we don't know. Lord, what are we doing with the time that we have? Because soon it can all come to an end. We must make preparation. We must do all we can for You, Lord. The days that we have, Lord, maybe we have many more days. I don't know. But Lord, however many we have is not the issue. The issue is, what are we doing today for You? I pray this morning that we would think about the end of our life. As we know it, our physical life will end, and then our soul will go to heaven or it will go to hell someday. Have we decided for Jesus and trusted Him for salvation? We need to be saved, some of us, Lord, today. Lord, maybe some of us have been saved, we've never been baptized. We haven't followed You in believer's baptism. Or we're not doing enough for You, because we can all do a little bit more. Why? Because the end of all things is at hand. Maybe we, Lord, each of us today need to be more kind to those around us, because the end of all things is at hand. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank You so much for listening today, as always. I just want to leave, I wanted to leave these thoughts with you. Not necessarily to discourage you because the end is coming, but to encourage you to evaluate your life and see, what can I do today for the Lord Jesus Christ? We don't hold tomorrow. God does. But we have today. What can we do for Him today? Maybe we need to be saved. Maybe we need to take that first step of obedience and be baptized scripturally. Maybe we need to join a gospel preaching church, or whatever it may be today. In a minute, the music's going to play. We're going to have opportunity to respond. If the Holy Spirit of God has touched your heart, why don't you come today and say, God, You control my life. What can I do for You? Help me to do more for You. Dear Heavenly Father, bless now the invitation. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.